The Sunday Baroque podcast is made possible by WSHU and the Friends of Sunday Baroque. You can find out more about the Friends of Sunday Baroque and find out how to become one yourself by visiting our website, sundaybaroque.org, under the Contact tab. Richard Egar is an English harpsichordist and conductor who has been affiliated with many of the world's top Baroque music groups, including London Baroque, the Hanover Band, and the Orchestra of the 18th Century. In 2005, he became associate director of the esteemed Academy of Ancient Music, the ensemble founded in 1973 by Christopher Hogwood. And in 2006, Richard Egar took over as music director of the Academy of Ancient Music. What a pleasure to welcome you to the studio.
Great to be here. Nice to see you.
My goodness. Well, I'm just going to cut to the chase because you have been named to a very big new gig. You will be succeeding Nicholas McGeegan as music director of Philharmonia Baroque Orchestra. Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
Wow. So what's going through your mind now about your collaboration with this amazing ensemble?
Well, I've been there three times in the last, I think, 7 or 8 years. And it's a little bit like in England over here, that a lot of the players I've known from various walks of life over the last couple of decades. So Phoebe Carai, who's the cellist I've known for many, many years, and she teaches at the Juilliard, where I also teach. So I've known a lot of the players that play in Philharmonia for many years. So I'm really excited. It's a great bunch of people, and I think they're doing fantastic work over there. And Nick has done an amazing job since he started the thing all those years ago. And I'm very honored to be taking over the mantle.
Do you have a wish list of projects you think you're going to want to tackle?
Oh, yeah.
Can you share any of them?
I don't know. No, well, it's interesting to see what they have and what they haven't done over the last bunch of years. I mean, for instance, I don't think they've done either of the Bach Passions for quite a long time. So it's repertoire I've done a lot, but it's repertoire that they haven't done a lot over there. So I'm looking forward to sort of bringing the old goodies back and maybe in some slightly odd versions or different versions, but also just pushing the envelope along with that. So doing slightly kinky early 17th century stuff and later music as well. I mean, I know that Nick has done some Brahms with the orchestra. Oh. And that's a direction I'm very keen to go in as well. So I think just as broad an outlook as possible and exciting programming and repertoire, I think that's what to look out for. And things, have you ever heard the Schumann Requiem, for instance?
Oh, wow.
There you go.
Wow.
It's one of these pieces that got poo-pooed ever since it was kind of brought out, because it's one of these late pieces of Schumann which both Clara and Brahms sort of put under the rug. Uh-huh. But actually, it's a fantastic piece, and I've done it with the Scottish Chamber Orchestra quite recently. So that might be one piece that appears. That's just something that comes to mind. But there's all sorts of good stuff which I'm hoping to put forth on the West Coast.
Wow, that's exciting stuff. So, you know, you're such a passionate advocate for your instrument, the harpsichord. In fact, I've heard you reference that Monty Python gag about instrument that goes ping. So what do you want people to know about the harpsichord?
I think that's the first thing to know, that it is the world's most unmusical instrument. It is the machine that goes ping, but it has all this incredible repertoire written for it. So it must be possible to make it musical. And it's all done by trickery. And all you have is how long you play a note and where you play it and how many notes you play to create color and dynamics. So it absolutely demands a very flexible and dynamic way of thinking about the way you play it and the music that's written for it. But it has incredible repertoire, which people may not be. And people know Bach, they know Handel, but they might not know the Couperin dynasty, for instance. They probably heard some François Couperin, but Louis Couperin is one of my all-time favorite composers. He was really the Chopin of the harpsichord, if you like. His music fits the instrument so amazingly well. Mm-hmm. And I was lucky enough to record all of that for Harmony Mundi several years ago. So I think the harpsichord, in a way, it's an interesting instrument in that it just does what you tell it. So it comes all from the player. So if you've got a boring player, it sounds boring. That sounds an easy thing to say. I mean, you could say that about piano as well, but it really just does what you tell it to do. It's like a computer, and it's either on or off, and it's how you manipulate that on or off is how you make it a musical instrument. Yeah. So it's this sort of, it's a wonderful tool for yourself to find out what is expressive playing. Mm. How am I going to be expressive on this silly machine? But it can do wonderful things, and it has some wonderful repertoire written for it.
Oh. How'd you get into playing the harpsichord?
I sniffed one when I was at school in Manchester. There was one, I didn't get to touch it because it was kept in the concert hall in the school I was at in Manchester, the music school. And I saw it and I thought, this looks like a strange thing, but never got to play it. But when I got to Cambridge, I was playing the organ then. I'd been organ scholar at Manchester during my time at the music school. And I went to Cambridge as organ scholar at Clare College, Cambridge, which has, of course, a great musical tradition going back all the way to John Rutter and before, made famous by John Rutter, certainly. But it was very a very lively musical college. And we had a harpsichord in the chapel at Clare. And it was sitting there and I had access to the chapel. So I just sort of started playing around with it and started playing with colleagues and friends at Cambridge. And a gamba player came along and brought a facsimile of Marais suites. And so I just started playing from the old editions, which wasn't a problem. I was sort of trained as an organist, you're trained to play basso continuo, but to play from these old funky editions and just started playing. And the next year, Andrew Manzi turned up at Clare and we formed a quartet and just started playing a lot and experimenting with the music and we had very strong ideas about how we thought the music should go. And yeah, I just had a really great time exploring that repertoire at Cambridge and beyond. Mm-hmm. But that's where my early music life began at Cambridge, although I've never stopped listening to other music or exploring other music.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a perfect lead into what I wanted to ask you next, because when I had a chance to speak with Nick McGeegan, I asked him about other music he likes, and he confessed that he has, and this was his word, or these were his words, a naughty passion for British punk music. So I have to ask you what music you enjoy listening to.
What is my naughty passion? I love Prince. He's one of my great musical heroes. There's some younger singer-songwriters around. There's a Norwegian woman, young woman called Aurora. I don't know whether you've come across her. She's a Norwegian singer-songwriter. I think she's probably 18 or 19 now.
Wow.
She writes wonderful, wonderful music. Slightly depressing, but really wonderful. So I'm always kind of looking out for what's around and what's good. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't say I've ever explored techno or house or all that kind of stuff, but I'm sure there's very good stuff written in those genres as well. But and I keep my sort of gentle lookout for new composers who are around. I mean, I think that's something that Philharmonia has also explored, is having commissions from living composers. So that's something that I'm also kind of keeping my ear to the ground to see what's around. Thomas Adder, I think, is a great composer from Britain. So yeah, we'll see how that all pans out. Bjork is another person who I find whose music is really, I'd love to work with her, actually. There may be, it's something that I've thought about for a long time. It's just a question of, you know, how does one do that kind of thing. But I know she certainly has had experiences with sort of crossover into the sort of classical music side of things. Uh-huh. She worked with John Tavener, for instance, in Britain. So who knows? I mean, I'm sort of absolutely open to those kinds of collaborations.
Wow. I can't wait to hear what you're going to do next.
So maybe we can convince Bjork to write a sort of Baroque opera based on... Who knows? I've always thought that she would do sort of Monteverdi and you know, 17th century mad songs really well. I can imagine her doing that stuff so well. Yeah. So, you know, watch this space.
Well, once again, congratulations on this wonderful announcement. I can't wait to hear what's next from you and from Philharmonia Baroque Orchestra. It is a match made in heaven.
Thank you very much.